Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We want to right an historical wrong, if I can call it that. Last month, the world celebrated the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. Thousands lined the streets of Stratford-upon-Avon, Shakespeare's birthplace. They dressed in period clothing and recited the bard's most famous lines. President Barack Obama visited the Globe Theater in London, a replica of the theater where Shakespeare staged many of his plays. But April was also the 400th anniversary of the death of another literary legend, and for some reason, fewer people seem to be celebrating him. But why? We're talking about Miguel de Cervantes, author of Don Quixote, the novel about a man on a quest to bring chivalry back into the world. Cervantes died within days of Shakespeare back in 1616. So I spoke about this recently with Ilan Stavins. He's professor of Latin American and Latino culture at Amherst College and author of Quixote, the novel and the world. And I asked Stavins why we aren't remembering Cervantes the way we're feting Shakespeare.
Well, maybe Shakespeare has eclipsed others, but many of us are celebrating Cervantes. They died for a long time, it was believed, on the same day, and their legacy permeates everything that we do. Cervantes showed us that it is ambiguity, ambivalence that defines us at every point. He taught us how to be modern, how to accept the interior life that inhabits us, and not only the fact that we live in a physical world. And he wrote the very first modern novel, mm-hmm. a novel that has been read by millions of people in many languages, and that set the tone of how we entertain ourselves in narrative.
Yeah. Well, is there any evidence that we know that Shakespeare and Cervantes may have known of each other?
It's a wonderful question. We do know that Shakespeare knew of Cervantes, or at least he knew of the big novel, the canonical book that he left us with, Don Quixote, because one of his very last efforts on stage was he co-wrote with a younger playwright, John Fletcher, a play called Cardenio that is based on one of the segments of the Don Quixote novel. Beyond that, it is very difficult to understand if he realized the complexity of the writer that is Cervantes. On the other hand, it is more unlikely that Cervantes knew anything of Shakespeare. His knowledge of English was very limited. The number of translations being done in Spain was smaller in comparison with that with those being made in England. In any event, neither of them knew what we know about them. Shakespeare did not know that we would, by that very word, Shakespeare, understand an entire age. And the same thing goes with Cervantes. Mm. He was one of the lesser figures of his time, looked down at by some of the intellectuals of the period. And today we call it the age of Cervantes.
Of course. So what was it about that age that Cervantes was living in when he wrote Don Quixote that made him want to so brilliantly go after, I mean, I'm just thinking of how Quixote opens, this concept of chivalry. It was like one of the defining features of the age. Why did he want to skewer it as much as he did?
He wanted to make fun of popular entertainment, the equivalent of telenovelas today, or maybe thrillers and detective novels or science fiction, an aspect that everybody was hooked to, but the quality of which wasn't really high. And he wanted to create art of that kitsch that was very well known. What was it in that age? It was an age of anxiety, of transition, of great empires realizing that they had limits, of an age of people thinking about themselves, the age of consciousness, of realizing that you are in your head trapped, and that the effects of your action define the environment on which you coexist, mm-hmm. and it was also an age of understanding other cultures, an age of discovery and of travel. And Don Quixote is about many things. It's an extraordinarily packed book, but it is at its very essence a book of a journey of two friends that go through Spain, trying to understand themselves and trying to understand that country that is collapsing. With an empire that doesn't quite understand how to live up to its potential.
Well, so how did Cervantes himself see Quixote? Because I'm wondering, you know, in this day and age, popular culture tends to sentimentalize him, right? But mm-hmm. Cervantes himself? I mean, Quixote was supposed to be the fool. He was on the impossible quest.
The fool, the lunatic, the idealist. We don't have any letters from Cervantes. We don't have a journal. We don't even have page proofs with marginalia that lets us know what he thought. We do understand that this was going to be a short novel and that it probably grew as he started to write. And it was going to be about a man who is addicted to reading. This is a book that in many ways is a critique of the act and art of reading. He reads so much that his brains dry up, and he becomes one of the characters in those books. How many of us have dreamed of something similar, becoming like Batman or Superman or one of the characters of Jane Austen or Shakespeare? So this is a book about the connection between art and reality in a way that it is subtle, but also incredibly universal.
Is that what makes him? I know you believe that he's the first modern. This is the first modern novel.
It's the first modern novel because it is a book in which the characters have really solid, internal, diverse life, an ecosystem that exists in their hearts. And Don Quixote starts in one way in the novel and ends in a very different way. And so do all the characters that surround him. In the Bible, in Dante, in the Canterbury Tales, characters tend to be more flat. They enunciate a dialogue. They communicate a thought mostly coming from the author. In this case, the characters use dialogue to engage with each other. And what is astonishing is that by the end of the book, Don Quixote is like Sancho, and Sancho is like Don Quixote. That is what friendship is.
Yeah.
They mutate.
Well, in fact, their relationship seems to be the template, the defining template for, I don't know, how should I put it, the buddy comedy, which is totally infused in literature and film and television in the centuries after Quixote, right?
It's everywhere. C-3PO and R2-D2, Laurel and Hardy, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, Ernie and Bird. These two characters, two males that relate to one another, one thin, one obese, one tall, one short, one an idealist, the other one a practical materialist, one that knows how to speak, the other one who can't finish a sentence. They have become emblems of the type of male relationship that really travels through time. And so many have paid tribute to Don Quixote and Sancho. And in many ways, I would also say that many of us men in the Hispanic world grow up defining ourselves vis-a-vis one or the other, uh-huh. either like Sancho or like Don Quixote.
Well, tell me more about that. How do you, in an example from your own life, which
maybe,
one?
Maybe when we're young, Meghna, we want to be like Don Quixote, dreamers, hoping that our dreams will become a reality. And as you grow up, you realize that you need to be a bit more like Sancho, that there's a practical side in life that makes you give concessions, in that you have to live in this world and not in the world of your imagination. And maybe when you reach my age, 55, you realize that there's a way to bring the two of them together, that you can retain your dreams and you can be practical and that you can pass those to others.
Yeah. So it's kind of heartbreaking to remember that Cervantes died not that long after the publication of the second half of Don Quixote, because it was published in two parts. So, you know, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, he didn't even live long enough to see the novel's impact on the world. But what would you say is Cervantes' then continuing legacy for the rest of us?
His legacy is about the endurance of reading and writing and the capacity to use a literature to make the values that we live with and we live by become characters and pass them on to future generations. What makes Don Quixote such a beautiful companion in life is that we know that we're descending on its pages the way millions have before us and millions will after us, and that we are all a community, the community of Quixotes, all collected in this dream that he created for us.
Well, Ilan Stavins is a professor of Latin American and Latino culture at Amherst College and the author of Quixote, the Novel and the World, helping us today remember the 400th anniversary of the death of Miguel de Cervantes. Professor Stavins, always an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Muchísimas gracias.
This is my quest to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right, without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause.